We can be identified by our distinctives. Although I grew up in Virginia, I'd never any personal experience with grits until I moved away to university. And there I found them. A little packet, you add hot water, and since I didn't know any better, you know, milk and sugar work great, breakfast cereal, and so I had my grits until someone who knew better was aghast and said, "Those aren't grits. You need the stone ground, slow cooking, country style grits, heaped on with melted butter. That's what grits are." And the reality is the same is true of churches. There are so many gatherings of people who gather together and call themselves church of different stripes and values, priorities. And as we're walking this morning, continuing through 1 Peter, I'd like us to highlight three of what we might call our distinctives of BCF. The distinctives I'd like us to see this morning is first, how we are called to be coming to Jesus. Second, how we are to be offering ourselves to Him. Thirdly, how we are being built up as living stones. Shall we open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read beginning in verse 4. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. And there the Lord says, "And coming to Him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed.'" Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your holy word this morning. And we pray that your Spirit would have liberty to open our hearts, to open our minds, and to teach us, to transform us by the glorious truth of your word. Speak for your glory and for our good, to build us up as living stones in the body of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin considering this morning the first distinctive, and that is we are invited to be coming to Christ. You'll notice that this book God has written to us, and in this very letter, in chapter 1, we've seen how Peter has reminded us that we've been chosen by God. We've been washed by the sprinkled blood of Christ. We have now a heavenly hope. We are His children. But you'll notice it doesn't say you came to Christ. Neither does it say you'll be going to Christ. It says rather that we are coming to Him. And this is a value, because we believe that the most important thing in your life is your relationship with Christ. Your constant, moment by moment, day by day, drawing near and abiding in an intimate love relationship with Christ. In the Gospel of John class, right now we're studying in the Upper Room Discourse, how Jesus teaches that He is the vine, that we are the branches, and that our life is to be so connected to Him that the beautiful life of Christ flows into us and through us produces fruit for His glory. You see, we are to be so connected that indeed Christ now lives in us. He is our life. You know, the other day a friend asked if we teach at BCF, once saved, always saved. And I asked, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, we've got this friend, and they go to a once saved, always saved church, and so they been baptized and they prayed and they're members of the church, and now they just live like they want to live. You know, they're not plugged into Christ. They might go to church, they might, but not, they're not worried at all about their eternity because, you know, they've been saved and it doesn't matter how they live. We don't teach that around here. We teach the reality is God wants you to be secure in your relationship with Him. Not so that you can live as you please, but so that you can live as He pleases. So you can be connected, that He would fill you with confidence, not so that you'd wander from Him, but so that you would draw near to Him. That you would be coming to Christ as a living stone. You would recognize that He's made you like Him. He's transformed you so that now you have the entrance into the holy place wide open. Because the veil has been torn in two. And now, through Christ, you have peace with God. And so every day, you can live in this profound relationship of love with the Redeemer who saved you by His very blood. Jesus has told us that He would live through you. That you have been crucified. No longer do you live, but Christ lives in you. And so the way you relate with other people demonstrates the presence of Christ in your life. If you're not living in love with your brothers, with your spouse, with your friends in Christ, if that grace and peace is not flowing from you, it means that you're not coming to Christ. There's something broken in that relationship with Him. John tells us, if you don't love the brother you can see, don't think that you're loving God whom you can't see. The way we experience our love for God is through loving others. The way we demonstrate the presence of Christ in our life is that the power of Christ, the love of Christ, the joy flows from our lives to others. And so we're called moment by moment, day by day, to be coming to Christ, to dwell in Him. The second distinctive is that we are being built up. Notice Peter says that we are in there as living stones being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. We are offering ourselves to God. Isn't it interesting that Peter doesn't say that you're building yourselves up into this house? This is not something that we do. This is something that Christ does. You remember in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked His disciples, well, who do the people say that I am? And they said, well, some say that you're a prophet. Others say maybe you're Elijah. And Jesus said, well, what about you guys? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father. And I call you Peter. And upon this rock, I will build My church. Now, it's interesting how it really is helpful to know a little bit of Greek there. Jesus says, I call you Petros. That word in Greek actually means pebble. I call you pebble. And then He says, upon this Petra, upon this bedrock, I build My church. The church is not built on a pebble. The church is built on the testimony of Peter that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. God became man. And He lived and He died and He rose again so that you might have peace with God now and forever. So that the joy and the power and the presence of God might go with you and you with Him in this dynamic union forevermore. And so Christ is building His church. So what is then our responsibility? We are invited to offer ourselves to God. as living stones. You know, God uses different moments in our lives, and this is one of Julie's old Bibles. And God used a moment in her life when she was invited to offer herself to God. And she wrote this prayer, and I'd like to read it for you. This is by Betty Scott Stamm, and it says this: Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept Thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to Thee, to be Thine forever. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Use me as Thou wilt. Send me where Thou wilt. Work out Thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. We believe that God has invited us to offer ourselves to Him. He builds the church. So there's no room for competition. There's no room for vying for position or for place or for prominence. Because Christ builds His church for His glory in His design. And we're invited to offer ourselves to Him. The third distinctive is that we are being built up as living stones. This is a fundamental truth. I grew up in a context of church where there was a hierarchy. And then I went to another church and there was another hierarchy, and came to BCF, and I, like many people, I said, well, you know, who's the minister around here? And I thought it was a little strange. I said, well, we're all ministers. Who's the pastor? Well, we don't have like a pastor. We have this team of elders, and they share the ministry together, because, you know, ministry's about the body. And well, that's a little strange. I mean, how can you be a church if you don't have, you know, like the big dog? And I thought, well, I just kind of observe a little while, see how things work. And later on, I happened to run into a guy named Paul Ribby and asked, well, you know, tell me how this works around here. And he says, well, you know, the Bible teaches that we're all members of Christ's body. And there's no hierarchy. There's no big dogs. There's one big stone here. That's the cornerstone. His name is Jesus. We're all being built up on Him. And all of us just offer our time and our talent and our treasure, and we'll do what we can. And all of us together make up the church. That's His design. And as I watch, I thought, this is amazing. This is remarkable. And something began to stir in my soul, because I began to think, well, I realize I can never be a big dog, but I'm a little dog. And if God can use little dogs, like, hey, here's a little dog, you know, Lord, use me. And so I thought, well, what can I do? Anything, you know, set up chairs, you know, go mow somebody's lawn, wash windows, just offer myself to God. And the reason this church functions is because there's a lot of little stones doing amazing things for the glory of God. And to God be the glory, and to you be the thanks. Because that's God's design. That's the way the church works. And it is so beautiful. You know, it's amazing how Christ builds us up. A little brief announcement. In a short time, there's going to be a new BCF ministry pamphlet coming out. And I just encourage you, take that and begin to pray. It may be there's some new ministry that God wants you to do, a new place But God wants to put you as a living stone in this particular expression of God's dwelling place. And I just invite you to begin to pray. And as that piece of literature comes out, look through that and ask, you know, Lord, am I in the place you want to be? Or is there a different place you want to be? Or how can I serve as a living stone in this house where you dwell? I'd like us to talk briefly about how that works, how stones work in this whole beautiful building of God. Three C's for the stonework of the church. First C is constructing. God is constructing us. It's not easy to build a stone structure. And having lived in Spain where there's a lot of stone structures, it's amazing if you build a stone structure right, it will last for thousands of years. As a matter of fact, there's a town about an hour south of where we used to live called Mérida. It was the 10th largest city in the Roman world. And there in Mérida, they had this influx of tourists coming to see all the Roman stuff. And so they decided to do this demolition project. There was a 16th century palace, and they started to knock this thing down. I'm thinking, this thing is 500 years old. What are you doing? He said, oh, this is what we're doing. We're simply taking away the new stuff. It turns out some dude in the 16th century bought this piece of land where there was actually a Roman temple to the goddess Diana that was basically in perfect condition. He thought, why waste all this money to build all this superstructure? I'll just use the temple of Diana and kind of build my place around it. And so they simply knocked down the 16th century walls and peeled back to this perfect structure from 26 BC. Now, a couple columns have fallen down, you know, so not exactly, but basically, it's been like that for 2,000 years. Because the stones were put right. And God is constructing this structure to last. But I have some assistants here that are going to come up and help us see how this process works. You guys will just step right up here, that'd be great. Now, building with stones is different than building with living stones. When you take living stones and you kind of put them together, notice they kind of fit like that, but we can kind of turn them, you know, in different ways, and notice how they fit like that. But also we can kind of do this and put the stones in different ways, like, and you'll notice, see how those stones, like, see how they just fit together? Isn't that amazing? Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. You know, what I want you to see is when you build with stones like this, they don't mold to one another. But when you build with living stones, they adapt and they flex and they adjust to one another. And God is building a structure that requires of you a willingness to adjust. A willingness to change. A willingness to let some things go that you may hold very dear. As God builds with living stones, the reality is, as you begin to participate in this work of the gospel, you're going to find there's somebody sticking you in the ribs. Or you're going to find that, you know, your head is sticking against somebody else, and they're causing them a rub. God is molding us for His glory. And the next C is carving. Because the reality is, for you to be a stone in the house of God, God is shaping you to mold you and to make you into that form that will fit right into the structure that He is building, whose design is to last for eternity. And so, if there's something in your life that you must give up, blessed be the sacrifice. If there's something in your life you must learn to do that's not too terribly natural, oh, learn with joy. Why do you think we have problems like in marriages, with friendships, as we relate to one another? God is carving us, shaping us, molding us, making us into those glorious stones, living stones, that we might serve for His glory. The last C is carrying. Because a stone is designed to bear weight. If you built a house with cards, you can't put anything massive on top of it. But when you build with stones, you can put tons up there. And guess what? It's not a problem. Because stones are designed to bear weight. And in the same sense, you are designed to bear weight in this house of God. That means it's work. That means sweat. That means it may be hard and struggling. But God has ordained that as a living stone, you would share in the burden of serving one another. You are your brother's keeper. His burden is yours to help carry. And as we bear with one another and for one another and bear one another, God builds up this beautiful dwelling place made of living stones. God is at work forming and transforming us into a place where He might dwell. And that may mean struggle and difficulty in your life. I happen to really enjoy flowers and plants, and another BCF flower lover gave me some amaryllis bulbs. And I planted those bulbs and put them in southern windows, and I've been taking great care of them. And you'll never guess what I have right now. And I've got a tremendous crop of green leaves. Because I didn't know the amaryllis secret. Now, I'm going to share with you the amaryllis secret. You ready? Okay, here's the deal. After an amaryllis bulb is wintered, you take it and you plant it in a pot. You water profusely, and then you take that and you hide it in a closet. And you leave it in the darkness. Ignore it. Don't water it. Don't give it any light. Don't give it any attention. You totally neglect it for 3 weeks. And then you pull it out, and boom! Guess what? You get this beautiful, amazing blossom. And it may be in God's work of forming you, even now, you may feel like God has stuck you in some dark closet. There's no light. There's no water. Matter of fact, you feel, frankly, neglected by God. And maybe by everybody else. But God is at work, forming and preparing and transforming you so that from your humble life, something beautiful will be born. Something glorious. Something that only He can do. And so I want you to know that Christ is building His church. That you are a living stone, much like Christ, the pebble, like Peter, being built up on the rock for His glory and for your good. What a joy that we together, as pebbles, are being built on the cornerstone to be a dwelling place for the one and only true and wise God. Shall we pray? Father, how we thank You for the privilege of being made like Christ and being built up in Him. And once again, I just want to pray this prayer of offering. Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept Thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to Thee, to be Thine forever. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Use me as Thou wilt. Send me where Thou wilt. Work out Thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. Amen.